With you, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We'll be focusing this evening on verse 2, but we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 8 of chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through verse 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Every Sunday when we gather together, we have this little tradition that we do at the beginning of our service. Pastor Jeff or Pastor Larry, they raise their hands and they say to you, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, or some variation thereof. And we begin our service this way, following the pattern of the apostles. In all of Paul's letters, he begins his letters with this salutation, this greeting of grace and peace to the people that he's writing to. In fact, almost every letter in the New Testament, with a few exceptions, has some version of this greeting. A greeting of grace and peace. And Colossians is the same here in verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Most likely this greeting is partially adapted from the old Jewish greeting. That's very famous. You all know the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. And when Jews would meet each other, they would greet each other by saying, shalom, peace be upon you, peace upon your house, or some variation thereof. And so Paul is adapting this old greeting that the Christians would be used to and adapting it to this new context of the gospel. However, in our own culture today, most greetings we have are pretty rote or repetitious. Whenever we see each other, we go through our standard, you know, phrases that we say, hey, how are you? I'm good. How are you doing? There's not a whole lot special, and generally speaking, in how we greet each other. And so it's tempting to read this greeting that Paul writes and the various greetings in all of the letters in the New Testament and see it as just being some nice words that the apostles begin their letters with. Grace, peace, those are good words, right? They sound really nice. But there's more to it here. Grace and peace are not just some nice words that Paul begins his letters with. Grace and peace is actually a very good summary of what Paul teaches us about our relationship with God and what is to be with our relationships and others. If you were to read Paul's letters and you were to summarize in three words what the relationship between a Christian and God is, a pretty good summary would be grace and peace. And if you were to read Paul's letters and say, what is the life of a Christian supposed to look like in interacting with those around them? A good three-word summary would be grace and peace. And so today we are approaching this greeting as not just a greeting, but in many ways a summary of some of the major themes that Paul has. And we're going to be connecting it with a number of different passages in Colossians, foreshadowing what we will be looking at further on as we move through the book in the future. But as we think about this idea of grace and peace, I want us to apply it to ourselves, and I want us to think of the question now. Think of this question as we move through the service or through the sermon, because we're going to come back to it. And I want you to think of your own life. Is your life marked by grace and peace? Can you look at your relationship with God? We speak of this as a vertical relationship between God and us. Is that marked with grace and peace? And then as you look at your horizontal relationships with those around you, is it described by grace and peace? Keep this in mind as we'll come back to it. But as we start off, I want to consider first, our first main point is looking at the grace that God has for us. Looking at God's grace for us. And we're going to look at it under three parts. First, God's grace to us in forgiveness of our sins. Now listen as I read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, that he is Christ, or God, I should say. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What is the big problem that this world faces? What is this big problem the world faces? The problem the world faces is sin. We look all around us, and what do we see? We see brokenness. We see pain. We see suffering. We see death and anger, bitterness, hardship. We see wars and conflict. The root of all the suffering we see in this world comes from sin. But it's not just that sin is an impersonal force out there that's going around the world and causing all this chaos. The problem is a little bit worse than that. The problem is that we are sinners. And we sin against others. We sin against God. There's not just an impersonal force out there. It's not like that. The problem is that we are broken. We sin against God, we sin against our brothers, and we cause the conflict that we see in this world. Sin permeates every part of our lives. There's a reason why the Bible compares sin to like yeast and bread. You all know the metaphor. A little bit of yeast, a few grains of yeast, you put it into the dough of bread, and as it's mixed all together, the yeast permeates all of the bread. It's through all of it, fills it. And just as yeast fills all of the bread, so sin fills all of our lives. The problem of this world, the problem that we have, is that sin is in us. And we are sinners. We are unholy and we are guilty. But the greatness of this problem makes the grace of God so much greater. What does Paul say in Colossians? But that Christ has purchased for us redemption. We have forgiveness from our sins. God has rescued us from the sins. He has rescued us, in verse 13, from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of his Son. We have been rescued and delivered from the sin, the darkness, the power of sin. And we have been forgiven. We no longer stand before God afraid because we have rebelled against him. We stand before God with confidence and boldness. Because when God looks at us, he doesn't see us as a sinner. He's not standing up there as a judge looking at a guilty, accused person. He looks at us and he sees Jesus instead. Amen. Our sins have been given to Christ, and Christ's righteousness has been given to us. And so God's grace is shown to us first in that he has forgiven our sins. What's even better than this, though, is that not only is our relationship with God not that of a judge with an accused. It's not just an impersonal courtroom where God looks at a random person standing before him and he says, okay, I see Jesus, you're not guilty. The second area we see the grace of God in us is not that just we've been forgiven, but that we've been reconciled to God as friends. Hear what Paul says in Colossians 1, verses 19 through 20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And actually, continue through verses 21 and 22. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. We used to be enemies with God. Our relationship with God was one of hostility. We hated God. He was our enemy. The things that we did, our sin, was in some sense a way to antagonize him. We fought against him. The relationship between us and God used to be a relationship of enmity, of hostility, of hating each other. But God has shown his grace to us in that he has reconciled us and we are now friends. A human example of this is in Rwanda, where for years there was horrible, horrible murders, genocide happening. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people slain and murdered. And there are stories now of these men who approach these women in tears, asking for forgiveness because they slew their children. And in some of these instances, these women, they not only forgive these men, they not only say, okay, I'm not going to hold that against you, this sin you committed against me, but they actually have become friends. They've been reconciled together. They're like a part of, some of them, they're even a part of each other's families now. They treat each other in that way. And this is just a little bit like what God has done for us. But it's even better in that we didn't even want to be friends with God. God showed his grace and mercy to us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies, God loved us first. And even though we didn't come to him first and ask for forgiveness, he forgave us and reconciled us and brought us together and made us friends. He reconciled us to himself and desires relationship with us. And the third way we receive grace from God, God's grace to us, is that he enlivens us. He makes us alive to receive this forgiveness and reconciliation. Listen to Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We all know this from Pastor Jeff's preaching through Ephesians 2. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But now we have been made alive. We are living now. We can enjoy the forgiveness of God. We can enjoy the reconciliation, the friendship, and communion we have with God. Before, we were slaves to sin. But now we are free. And we can have relationship with God, enjoy him, commune with him. And these three graces that we receive from God, the three graces of forgiveness, of reconciliation, and being made alive, they are all part of how we enjoy peace with God. Our lives as Christians, when we think about God, we should be able to have a sense of peace. Because God has forgiven us, God has reconciled us, and he has made us alive, and we are at peace with him. There is no more conflict and hostility. We enjoy peace. Now, this applies not just to our relationship with God. The fact that God's grace leads to peace applies to more than just that vertical relationship. It also applies to the horizontal relationships around us. As we interact with each other, the same principle holds true, that as we've received grace from God and enjoy peace with God, and we then show that same grace to others, we experience peace with others as well. So I want us to turn now to our second main point about grace and peace towards others. We've looked at the grace of God towards us, but now showing grace towards those around us for the purpose of enjoying peace with those around us. And the first thing I want us to think about, to apply this idea of showing grace to those around us, is by forgiving others. As Paul says in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 13, "Put on them, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Notice what Paul emphasizes here at the end of verse 13. As God has forgiven us, so we are to forgive others. Now, we're all Christians. We've all received the forgiveness of God. So this is easy, right? We all know how to forgive others. This is the easy stuff, right? We all know what when the disciples came to Jesus, what did they say? They said, "How many times do we have to forgive each other?" Like, "A couple times. That's all we need, right?" Jesus is like, "No. 7 times 70. He blows their mind with how much we are to forgive those around us. And so you would think, as Christians, as we've received the forgiveness of God and we have the clear teachings of Jesus of how we are to forgive others, that this would be easy. The problem is we're still sinners, and it's not easy. In fact, what often happens is we have these little notebooks we keep in our heart of the little sins that people have done against us. Intern David, on October 22nd, said, "I'm not forgiving people enough." So you write that little down so we can remember that in the future. It's a little bit of a silly example, but this is what we do. And the result is we have bitterness, and we hold grudges. We don't truly forgive each other sometimes. But Paul says that we are to forgive others as Jesus forgave us. So let's think about what Jesus did. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. There are 7 sayings we have recorded in Scripture from Jesus is on the cross. And here we go, from Luke. Jesus is on the cross, and he says, "Father, pay them back. Pay them back for what they're doing to me. Pay them back for all the pain and suffering that I don't deserve to be having right now." I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong translation. That's not what Jesus said. When he is up on the cross, when Jesus is enduring hell for us, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." If anyone had a right to be keeping a little notebook of all the wrongs done against him, Jesus has that right there. But what does he do? He doesn't write down the wrongs done against him. He says, "Forgive them." The one who keeps the notebook is Satan, because Satan is the accuser, and he keeps a record of all our wrongs to throw them back in our face. But Jesus does not keep a notebook. Jesus calls out for forgiveness for the wrongs done against him. And just as Jesus forgave us, so we are to forgive others. The second area to apply this grace to others, this horizontal relationship, is in loving one another. Colossians 3, again, the next several verses, verses 14 and 15. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Part of the church's DNA, part of what makes us the church, is to be that we love each other. This is supposed to be who we are. This isn't an option. Because God first loved us, we are enabled and are to then go out and love others. The way that the world knows that we are of God is because of the love we have for each other. And notice the connections that Paul makes here, verse 14, to put on love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. As we show the grace of God to each other in love, it leads to peace, to harmony with each other. And this is connected with the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. If we want to experience peace with God, part of the way we do that is by loving and caring for those around us. As we show love to one another, as we serve one another, as we forgive one another, we live at peace with each other and we experience the peace of God as well. This is why we read Romans 12 earlier. This particular chapter in Romans is full of these kinds of admonitions. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor, which Pastor Jeff referenced this morning. Bless those who persecute you. Live in harmony with one another. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The church is to be marked by loving others. The world knows we are of God because of the love we have for others. And it is sad sometimes that the world is sometimes better than us at loving the broken, the hurting, at loving sinners. Sometimes the world is better than us. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We should be the best at loving other people because God first loved us when we did not deserve it. We need to be willing to demonstrate and show the same grace and peace that we receive from God to then show that to those around us. Now, as you think about your answer to the question at the beginning of this message, about whether or not our lives are described by this grace and peace, is our relationship with God described by grace and peace, and our relationships with each other? And whether your answer is, maybe it's not, or maybe, yeah, I do have some of that. But hopefully all of us can together say we want more of it. And our third and final main point for this evening is to remember this. As we desire grace and peace with God and grace and peace with each other, the source is not in anything that we can do, but the source of it is from God. Back to verse 2 of chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We are dependent creatures. From the day that we are born to the day we die, we are dependent on outside sustenance, nutrients to keep us alive. We have a constant need for intake, for calories to keep us going, to burn energy, to live. We know just from our physical experience that we cannot look to ourselves for life, but we need to look outside of ourselves. And this is true in our spiritual Christian lives as well. There's a reason Jesus is called the bread of life and living waters. Because we need to look outside of ourselves to receive the grace and peace of God. If we want our lives to be marked by God's grace of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of loving others, forgiving others, and caring for others, if we want Lake Sherwood to be marked as a church that lives in harmony and peace, both within our own community, but then also in reaching out to those around us, we are only able to find it as we look to God as the source of grace and peace. And as we go out this evening, as Jeff encouraged us this morning, throw yourself at the mercy of God. Ask Him, feed upon Him daily, weekly as we come together in worship. That ask Him to grant us His grace, to grant us His peace, to grant us the strength and ability that as we have received grace and peace from Him, that we will be able and willing to show that same grace and peace to those around us. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your kindness and mercy towards us, the grace that You have shown to us, that You have loved us and cared for us, that we know Your grace and peace. And we ask as we go out this evening that as we experience Your grace and peace, that it would mark our lives and it would mark how we live with others as well. We pray this in the name of Your powerful Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.